bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Yes, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name I know. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, no other name I know. Oh, there's healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Oh,
praise the Lord, everyone. Good to see you again. I always feel like that guy that answers the phone for one company, and then the guy calls back for another company, and it's the same guy. Sometimes I feel that way. Praise God. Amen. If you could stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Just going to read this one scripture, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and then we can pray, and I'll let you be seated. Hallelujah. Luke 11, 1. Hallelujah. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Amen. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Can we pray right now? Ask God to bless us. Bless this Bible study. Jesus, right now, Lord God, ask you, God, to bless us. Lord, anoint this, Lord Jesus, the speaking, Lord God. Anoint, Lord, the preaching. Anoint, Lord, the hearing, oh God. Your word, Lord Jesus, is already anointed, God. I ask you, Lord, that you'd bless us, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Teach us to pray, Lord God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Praise God. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. We're this month, January, we have this 30 days of prayer. And there's a few of those on the register over there. But if we run out of them, there's a website. You can just Google UPCI 30 days of prayer and look at that. And so each week there's a different theme on prayer. And we've been doing that on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We come together in the church, everybody that can make it, and we've been praying for our services and praying for these different points each week, and we're going to keep doing that. So we want to implement pre-service prayer. Like most churches that I know, they come to the church early to pray, and we're trying to implement that in our church. We need that. When we want to be effective in our services, we want to be ready for the worship and the hearing of the word, and that helps us to prepare our hearts. And that's going back long time. People come together with the sole purpose of prayer. Amen. In the Bible, very next verse after Acts chapter 2, they went to the temple to pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 3. So we're going to come together and pray. So with this in mind, with the 30 days of prayer in mind, and I know we're praying and fasting this month, I wanted to come and bring you this is the Lord's Prayer Class. The Lord's Prayer Class. And the disciples had asked him, because you see him doing something, you see Jesus doing something, and naturally they want to follow him. And John had evidently taught his disciples to pray. And so the disciples came to Jesus and said the same. Well, will you teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples? And Jesus said to them, verse 2, Luke 11, 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus started out with, when ye pray. When? Christians pray. When? Followers of Jesus pray. Amen. Disciples of Christ, we pray. Amen. That's something that is a given. We're praying here on earth because we have need. We're human. We have ailments. We have troubles. We have trials. We have times of refreshing. We have times of good things. But we also have times of bad things that happen in our lives. And so we go to the Lord. We pray. We ask God and seek His face. But so many times when you first start living for God and when you're a new convert, you don't know what to say. You don't know how to pray. And it's like, you know, somebody asked me, well, how long you been playing guitar? And I've been playing for over 20 years now. And I always try to make a point to say, but I'm still learning. But I'm still learning. And I am still learning. And I'm actually learning a lot more now than I did when I first started. So I know that this sometimes seems like old hat to Christians when we come together and we say, oh, he's going to talk about prayer. I've been living for God for so long. I know how to pray. Well, hopefully God, you would touch your heart and teach you something new today. Something new. Because you ought to be able to learn more about prayer and talking to God because you know a few things now. You've been through some things. You've lived for God for a while. You know about rough times. You know about good times. So when we pray, we should learn more. Jesus still wants to teach us more. He still wants to teach us more. So he said, when ye pray, not if. And I want to make this point that the dwelling place of God, the dwelling place of God, the house of prayer, if you will, the house of God is the house of prayer. And in the Old Testament, we knew that it was the temple. That was God's house. That was the place that David desired to build for God. And Solomon built Solomon's temple. And God placed his name there. And they turned towards that place. And they would pray in times of trouble, in times of drought, in times of famine. They would turn their face towards the place where God had chosen to put his name there. Amen. And they would pray in that place. But in the New Testament, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You are the temple of God. You are the house of God. And so it should be by definition, and oh, by the way, when you got baptized in Jesus' name, Brother J.R., God placed his name on your life. And so if you're going to be called the people of God, if you're going to be called the household of faith, if you're going to be called the church of the Most High God, you're going to be a praying person, a praying saint. Amen. You're going to call on the name of the Lord in times of trouble. but you're going to call on the name of the Lord at all times. Amen? So Isaiah 56 and 7 says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Amen. You're going to get closer to God in prayer. You're going to get nearer to the Lord in prayer. Amen. This is so interesting to me, and I can actually probably think about what the reaction was like when Isaiah prophesied this. See, the Hebrew people were an exclusive bunch of people. They didn't just allow anybody and everybody to come in and worship with them. They didn't just, you had to actually come in and declare that you wanted to be a sojourner and a worshiper of God, and you had to be with them, and you had to be circumcised, and your family had to line up. And there were all of these different rules to integrate those who were from different nations into the nation of Israel. But God, when he spoke this through the mouth of Isaiah, he was very clear. He's not just talking about the outcasts of Israel, but he's talking about others also. So praise the Lord. I've talked to people about different, I talked to my boss, different people that are on the job, and different people that they don't believe the same way that I believe. They don't know God the way that I know God. But they'll tell me that they'll pray for me, and I don't know what they're saying when they pray. I have no clue. But you're never going to find me saying, no, don't pray for me because you're this or you're that. Right? Because you don't know what they're praying. I have no clue. They might pray everything and say in Jesus' name, and it'll work. Praise the Lord. I don't know what their faith is. Amen. So I'm not ever going to say, oh no, don't pray for me because you're not just like me. The house of God is a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. So all nations, and people say, well, why would God bless them? Well, because they have faith in him. They might not know all the truth, or they might not know any truth, but if they'll pray in earnest, God will hear them. God will hear them. How else would he reach somebody that was, in a foreign land that's worshiping some, living their life according to some other faith or religion? And God will still answer them and show them the way to the truth. God still wants to draw people into his house. And he does it by answering prayer. Hallelujah. It's evident that Jesus wants us as his followers to pray. And prayer will change people from being just a casual follower of Jesus into a resilient follower and a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you pray something and you get that answer to prayer and you can see that miracle happen, it changes the way that you pray. It changes the way that you call on God. Because I know that if he did it before, he can do it again. Amen. When God begins to talk, work on you and work on your heart and bless you and help you in situations that are beyond your control, amen, you'll call on him again. Hallelujah. Next time you come into the same situation, or if someone else comes into the same situation, you'll testify to them about what God did for you, and you'll see that faith come through. Amen. I was listening to the broadcast, the church I grew up in. This was last year sometime. I was listening to the broadcast, and there's a Jamaican guy, Marcel Lang. It's funny, he's Jamaican, but he's got a Chinese last name. But the guy could run so fast. He'd try to play basketball with us, and Jamaicans are known as very fast runners for the most part. And he'd try to play basketball with us, but his legs would run faster than the top of his body. And he's trying to coordinate how to bounce the basketball, and because his arms are slower than his legs, and he'd kind of be running at an angle going like this. It's funny to watch. I don't know if he ever did get better at basketball, but recently, last year, he was diagnosed with cancer. And it was very bad. They told him, you know, there's really no hope for you, and we're just going to kind of let you go home. And apparently, the pastor was there in the hospital with Brother Marcel, and Brother Stolzfus said, "Marcel, let's pray one more time." And so they prayed together. He and his wife and his family all prayed together, and then before they were going to let him go, Pastor Stolzfus said, "Why don't you ask them to check it again?" And immediately they went and did the test and checked it, and they couldn't find anything. Amen. See, that's the kind of thing where, you know, we have all of these folks come in that are hurt and broken and messed up. Amen. We tell those testimonies of the power of prayer, that God really does change things. And they'll believe it. Amen. And when they pray and they have faith, God will do the same thing for them. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Praise God, praise God, praise
God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he didn't just command us to watch and pray, but I'm so thankful that he taught us to pray. He gave us the perfect template or framework to build a life of prayer upon. And I want God to be present at all times in my life. So I want to pray, because he said his house would be called a house of prayer. So if you'll pray, if you'll call on him, at all times he will be with you. He will be present with you. And I'm not just talking about how we know that the Holy Ghost is with us and we serve an omnipresent God and, you know, he's everywhere. We know that. We know he's everywhere. But when you have a relationship with him and you have conversations with him, you can see the demonstration of his power and you can feel his presence. So that's what I mean by I want him to be present in my life at all times. In other words, I want to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God. And so therefore, I need to have a prayer life. Everybody needs to have a prayer life if they want God to be present in their life. God will prompt you. God will lead you. God will bring you to a place and you'll say, "Well, what am I doing here?" And God will prompt you to pray for a person or knock on a door or talk to somebody in the supermarket, because you don't know what's happening around you in the world. But if you have that dialogue with God and you're listening to the presence of God, he will lead you. He will use you in prayer. Amen. So before we even get into the Lord's Prayer class, and this is very, very important, because we can read through the Lord's Prayer, and there's actually a preliminary action that needs to be taken before you even start the Lord's Prayer, before you even go through it. And before we start learning, I want to point this out to you. Does anybody know what action needs to be completed prior to starting prayer? Anybody? Say that again, Sister Greeley. Repentance. Close. Close. Anybody want to venture a guess? It's to forgive others. And now that I said that, you're like, "Oh yeah." You got to forgive others, because you can be going through this framework, and this is not a repeat thing, but this is a framework by which we can pray. And you can be going through this framework and you get to that verse that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you can go, oh, I didn't start with that. Yeah, before we ever even pray, we should forgive others. We should have that, we should go to people sometimes and we should ask them to forgive us. We should not have aught against one another. Amen. Forgive others before you begin to pray. That's very important. And Matthew 6:12, the verse where, and we're going to go through the framework in, found in Matthew chapter 6, but that verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. The revised versions, the revised version translates the words as we forgive to as we have forgiven, as a completed act, as a completed act before we begin to pray. So someone that refuses to forgive cannot be forgiven. So you're going to get to that point in the script, in the prayer, and you're going to, if you're dealing with and you're struggling with forgiving others, you're going to run into a roadblock. And I don't want us to run into roadblocks in prayer. So we got to get this part out of the way. So before we enter into prayer, amen, it's impossible for us to even pray some of these portions of this prayer without being forgiven. Amen. I mean, without forgiving others. I'm sorry. Amen. It's impossible for us to know the amount of debt that we owe. We owe more than we think we do most of the time. And so when we get to that point where it's like, forgive us our debts, well, one of those debts could be unforgiveness. So after the amen in this prayer, and I'm just hammering home this point here, Jesus immediately returns our attention to how important it is to forgive others. Amen. And how it has power to give us access. When we forgive others, it has power to give us access to the long-suffering mercy of God. Amen. And in His forgiveness towards you. He also expressed that there's a curse of unforgiveness. And there's a binding effect of unforgiveness in our ability to grow spiritually and be kingdom-minded. Amen. In verse 14, he says, and this is right after he says amen, says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's what I'm talking about when I say there's freedom in forgiveness. There's a loosing effect that's in forgiveness. And so it allows you to have access. If you have forgiven others, it allows you to have access to the long-suffering and the mercy of God. And He will forgive you. But the next verse says, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Amen. That's the part what I talked about, a curse. That's a binding curse. That if you can't get past that unforgiveness in your heart towards one another, that will stop you dead in your tracks. You won't be able to function and do anything else. Amen. We read the Lord's Prayer there in Luke chapter 1, chapter 11. And having read that prayer, do you really think that first word in the prayer, what's the first word in the Lord's Prayer? Our. Our. It. Can you really pray our if you have aught against your brother? It's like, stop right there. You can't really come together in unity if you have aught against your brother. So we think that the roadblock is in verse 12, but the roadblock's in the very first word. Our Father. Our Father. Amen. Can it apply? Can our apply if there's division between you and another? Or how about when we pray for the kingdom? Can one be kingdom-minded and also have unforgiveness in their heart? No, no. So having forgiven others, we may proceed freely into the presence of God. Amen. So I've been talking about unforgiveness and forgiving others, and I know sometimes hurt runs very, very deep. And it's something that can, you know, be part of, you know, you could have been hurt long time ago. You could have had things happen to you in your childhood, growing up, in the church, out of the church, at school, on your job. There's a lot of different things. Your family could have hurt you. There's a lot of different ways that the enemy tries to hurt people and tries to bind them up in unforgiveness. And so to be liberated from that, we have to be willing to forgive and then let God help us forgive. Amen? So even though it's difficult and hard to go further and forgive others, I was thinking about this too, Pastor, because we're going to have foot washing and communion coming up. So this certainly applies. Is that communion that we have with the body of Christ, we really can't hold unforgiveness in our heart and really have fellowship one with another. And so we've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. So I'm going to ask you now if you can take some time, just right where you are, and just close your eyes and just ask God to help you. Help you to think about those that have hurt you, those that have done you wrong, those that have done things against you and against your family. And I want to ask you if you would help, if you would ask God to help you forgive them. If you could pray that prayer right now, if you could just go to the Lord, and I know just pray softly. I know we don't want to, you know, talk loud or anything like that, but think about it. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amen. Stephen, even when he was being stoned, he said, "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Don't lay this sin to their charge." God, I ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, if there's unforgiveness in my life, God, Lord, if there's something, Lord God, that's holding me out of your presence, God, that's holding me out, Lord God, from the things that you want to give me, Lord God, from the places you want to take me, Lord God, ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would help, Lord, deal with unforgiveness in my life, God. Lord, deal with those things, Lord God, that would hold me, Lord, from growing, God, that would stop me, Lord, from progressing, Lord Jesus, that would stop me from getting closer to you, God. Lord, right now, Lord Jesus, God, even things that I don't understand, Lord God, even, Lord, those hurts and those things, Lord, those sins that have been done against me, God, Lord, I ask you to forgive them, Lord God, forgive them, Lord Jesus. I don't want to hold unforgiveness in my life, God. I don't want to hold unforgiveness in my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to grow. I want to get closer to you. I want to be called the house of prayer, Lord God. I want to get, Lord, in your presence, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to forgive. Help us to forgive. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now that, amen, we've been able to forgive and it feels freeing when you can forgive others, it feels like, it feels freedom. You're actually free from the things that they did to you. A lot of times you hold unforgiveness, you're holding on to that very thing that they did to you. And you're letting it take you down. You're letting it make you sink. You don't have to do that. Give it to God. Just give it to God. Amen. Let it go. Let it go to the Lord. Amen. There's a difference between saying, you know, somebody does something wrong to you, you say, "Oh, just let it go, bro. Just let it go. They say that, oh, just get over it. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I just can't let this go. But can you let it go to God? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If it's in God's hands, it's in good hands. He's going to take care of it, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's go back. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer class. Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew 6:9. And this is going to be pretty quick, I hope. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Let's stop right there. After this manner, therefore pray ye. So a lot of people take this prayer and they'll repeat it literally. You know, prayer can be a memorized prayer, but this says after this manner. And Jesus just got done telling them to not pray like the heathen pray, using vain repetitions. So we don't want to pray in vain repetitions. Sometimes I catch myself saying the same thing over and over and over again. And it's kind of like because maybe I'm distracted or my mind is clouded or I don't really know what to pray. And I'll just start to say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, until something comes to me that I remember that I need to pray about. Or I'll say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you know, that's not a total waste of time, but we want to pray specific prayers. Amen. There was an evangelist way back 100 years ago named Verbal Bean, and you used to be able to get this prayer series that he did, and the recording was terrible. It was cassette tapes, and like it was recorded at such a low volume level, you could barely hear it, barely make it out. But he was talking about how he was at a church, he was at having revival, and there was a lady there that her husband was an alcoholic, and her husband would beat her and mess her up and hated the church, hated the pastor, didn't want her to go, would do everything he could possibly do to stop her from coming to the church. And he was teaching on prayer, and so he was asking the church, let's pray for so-and-so. I forget what the man's name was. Let's pray for so-and-so. And so they would pray, but they would pray specifically. So Brother Bean said, well, let's pray that he comes to the church. And they took time. They took several minutes praying, the whole church praying, that this man would come to the church. And then, Lord, help him to come to the altar. And they prayed for a while, that he would come to the altar. And then, Lord, let's pray that he would repent of his sins. So they prayed for that. Then they prayed for that he would get baptized in Jesus' name. Then they prayed that he would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they prayed that he would start living for God. And the very next night, that man came in, sat at the very back row, and when the altar call was being given, he just instantly just ran right up to the altar, fell on his knees, repented of his sins. They baptized him in Jesus' name, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, that's the power of prayer. That's the power of a specific prayer. You know, we could pray, oh God, just bless him. Well, why would you pray God bless him when he's living in sin? You know, let's make sense of this and let's pray specifically, right? And, you know, after having heard that on that prayer series, I have done the same thing. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but bring so-and-so to the church. And they come to church, they show up. Amen. God has done that over and over and over again, and he's going to continue to do it. But he needs us to pray for it, pray specific prayer. So here, Jesus is giving us a framework of prayer. He's giving us an outline of prayer. And so the framework overall, and I'll go through this framework. The framework is to enter into his presence with reverent praise for him and for his name. That's the first thing. And then you got to change your priority. The next part is the first thing that we pray for is to change our priorities to be kingdom minded. And then the next one is to pray for basic sustenance and for spiritual provision. And then we pray for forgiveness. And then we pray for protection. And then we declare our trust in him. And that's just the framework. You can pray many different things along those lines. But that should be, this is one basic framework that you can use in your prayer and in your prayer life. Amen. That second part of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Father which art in heaven helps us to lift our eyes above the situation or the present state that we are in with an appeal to heaven and to the Almighty God. Amen. This is where we view Jesus in his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we enter into prayer with reverent praise. And by doing this, we acknowledge the glory of his name. And when we do this, there's a guarantee that we have the attention of heaven. There's a guarantee we have. When you enter into his presence with praise, there's a guarantee that you have his attention. Psalm 22:3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God dwells in the middle of the praises of his people. Amen. God sets up. That's where he wants to be. That's where he's going to set up his kingdom, is in the middle of our praise. And so when you come into his presence, you got to start with reverence. You've got to start with praise. You've got to say, "Our Father," amen, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When I think about the term hallowed, it's set apart, it's sanctified, it's holy. He's not just anyone. He's not just anyone. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's God manifest in the flesh. Amen. He's God Almighty that was and is to come. Amen. He's coming back for us. Amen. And when we lift up his name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, everything will have to bow. Everything will have to confess to the Lord. Amen. And give glory to God. Hallelujah. This name that is given to us. Amen. That name was secret in the Old Testament. That name was hidden in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, when he came in his glory, amen, it was revealed to us. And so we have that great, great name. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. In the name of Jesus, healing will take place. In the name of Jesus, prison doors will open. In the name of Jesus, financial situations will be turned around. Amen. In the name of Jesus, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're drawing all the attention of heaven, amen, to us. And we're asking God, we have this appeal towards heaven, amen. We're asking God to come and dwell right where we are. Hallelujah. Can we take some time just to worship and to praise that name? Hallelujah, God. Oh, we want to lift up your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We love you, Jesus. You said if you would be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you, God. Oh, Lord, we lift up your great name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see us, God. You hear us, Lord Jesus. You're with us, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Lord, I give praise to your name, oh God. It's because of your name that I'm anything, Lord Jesus. I'm nothing without your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You've got not just a great name, Lord God, but you've got the greatest name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. It's that great, great name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. In that next verse, verse 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We have to remember that we're fragile. We're made of earth. And we want God's will to be done in us, in earth, amen, as it is in heaven. See, in heaven, when God speaks something, it's already done. Amen. In heaven, when God declares something, it is and it will always be. Amen. So that's what I want God to do in my life. I want God to declare some things in my life. I want God to speak some things into my life. I want God to give me some commands. God, give me some direction. God, give me some guidance. Amen. And let it be done. Let your will be done. Amen. In earth as it is in heaven. God, I want your kingdom to come into my life. I want your kingdom, Lord God, to be the first thing that I think about. Amen. I want your kingdom to be the reason, amen, that I get up in the morning and the reason that I go to bed at night. I want your kingdom to be what I am all about, Jesus. Amen. I want your kingdom to come into my life, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, when the kingdom of God is first and foremost in your life, amen, all the other things seem to fade away. Man, all the trouble, in spite of the trouble, it's about his kingdom. Amen. See, this is the first part of the petition. This is the first thing that we should pray. It's not first jump to God, I need all this stuff. No, it's not first jump to, you know, oh, that person's been doing me wrong. No, it's to put everything into perspective. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. That's the first thing in my life. I don't care if I stub my toe in the bedroom. I don't care if somebody ran into my car. I don't care if, no, God's going to work all that stuff out. I don't care if they, you know, real life story. They changed the pay cycle on me this last week, and I got this paycheck, and it was half of what I thought it was going to be. And I was like, man, what did I miss something? And sure enough, I had seen something about it, so I went and checked again, and sure enough, they changed the pay cycle on me. Well, we had to live off of less for a week, and we had to trust God. We had to, well, praise the Lord. What happened? We're fasting. I didn't have to buy all that meat. God worked it out. You know? I paused my food service. We use a food service to deliver dinners. I just said, skip a week. And we skipped that week, and I didn't get charged the money for the food, and we were able to make it. See, God worked it out. God made a way. He was able to provide for us and get us through. Amen. And we're thankful for that, for everything that he does that way. But when we focus and fret, and I could have been on the phone for hours, and they would have, in the end, they would have said, you got to wait like everyone else, you know. But God worked it out. See, we can sit there and fret about everything and be upset about everything, or we can put the kingdom of God first. I don't want to be like the rest of the world. I know I made this announcement a couple of times here, but I don't want to be normal. If normal is busted and broke and messed up and addicted to drugs and all of that other stuff, I don't want to be normal. You know, now that I'm on this subject, they just legalized the sale of marijuana, and we got a notification from the town. 32 is going to be backed up because there's a dispensary on 32 and everybody's going to be out there, and they got police cars out there directing traffic because everybody's going and getting crazy and getting high. uh-uh, I don't want to be part of that. I don't want that in my life, in my family. Amen. Matter of fact, it's kind of disgusting to me. I used to do all that stuff. But God set me free from it. He really, truly delivered me from it. Am I better than them? No. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Because I put the kingdom of God first. Amen. I'm not brain dead. All right, let me get off of that, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:32 says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." All the people run into the pot shop. Really? Sad. It did grieve me. I was driving by tonight. I was going, man, they got police officers out there directing traffic. Those poor police officers. I don't have a bit of remorse for the guys going in getting the pot. They could waste their money if they want. But I felt bad for the police officers. And I feel bad that this is what our society's come to. That this is the accepted norm. If the Gentile, look, if everybody's doing something at your job, look in the Bible and do the opposite. If everybody's getting their hair cut a certain way, look at the Bible and do the opposite. Come on, I'm not going to conform to this world. I want to stand for something. I want to be right with God. Hallelujah. If everybody is getting a divorce, I'm not getting a divorce. Forget that. You'll end up paying more to divorce the person than it costs you to get married to them. And it's not just a monetary thing. God's given me a very, very nice gift. Amen. I know, Pastor, you say you have the best wife in the world. But I'm going to put you in a really, really hard conflict right now. Because that's your daughter, Pastor. Amen. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Oh, take care of it. Yeah, sure. Awesome. Get them to read their Bible, Sister Janie. That's awesome. Amen. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise. You can take that to the bank. Amen. He's going to take care of it. So just be kingdom-minded first. Let his will be done first in your life. And pray it specifically. God, I know sometimes we're just thinking, oh, we're just going to let God have his way. And that's the way that we think. But sometimes you've got to declare that. You've got to say, I know that this situation makes me want to do this, but God, you want me to do that. You got to pray that. And thy will be done. Amen. Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The appeal, give us, considers that he is the only source by which provision may be bestowed upon humanity. We're not the source of anything. We're not the source of anything. Amen. I sent this to some of the guys, but there was a clip, an audio clip of C.S. Lewis talking about the lie of self-help. The lie of self-help. And he was saying, basically, that you can't really have life outside of Jesus. You might think you do, but you can't really have life outside of Jesus. And he used the example, if someone never tasted salt before, like a baby, you know, you take a little baby and you put a little salt on your finger and you put it, you know, on their tongue, and you get a kind of a funny reaction out of it because it's so acrid, right? And it's such a powerful taste. So so that person could grow up thinking, salt's terrible. Salt's horrible. But we know that salt is the king of spices. If you use too much of it, it's not good for you. But if you use too little, it's not good for you either. Right? So, having known that salt is good with other foods, and it causes there to be variety, and you know, it draws out flavor in different dishes, in different ways. Black pepper tastes horrible, but if you put some salt with it, it's pretty good, right? But all you knew was salt, you'd be like, ugh, I don't like that. Well, C.S. Lewis was saying that without Jesus, you really can't experience life the way it should be experienced, the way that the creator, the designer of life intended it to be. So out on the outside, you might be thinking, what do I need Jesus for? And it might be maybe leave a bad taste in your mouth. But if you really have Jesus Christ, you have life, and that more abundantly. Amen? C.S. Lewis, brilliant. You got to go read some of his stuff. Praise the Lord. But our daily bread, we're not the source of anything. Our daily bread, that word daily only appears here in the Lord's Prayer and in Luke chapter 11, verse 3. And it shows us that we need to have a frequency to our prayer. We need to have the frequency to our... There's got to be a frequency, meaning every day. We need God every day. Our frail humanity is in need of both physical sustenance and spiritual meat every day. So pray every day. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Bread is the basic nourishment for to sustain us, but and this prayer doesn't include comfort food or luxury. It doesn't allow for luxury. It's asking for God to provide the basic necessities for us. Amen. What if God requires for you to live without comfort? What if God requires that you live without luxury for His name's sake? Well, we should be willing to receive whatever He provides for us. Basic needs are promised. Amen. A life of comfort is not promised. And remember also that there's a spiritual meaning to this. Well, let me just put this in perspective. Because when I get a blessing and I have a good steak dinner, I'm sorry, I shouldn't even be talking about this. You guys are we're all on meat fast. I know. I'll apologize later. I got a freezer full of steak. But when I get a nice steak dinner, man, what a blessing. That's not something that's normal or something that's we eat all the time. But man, it feels good when God blesses you with something more than your basic provision. That just should make you want to praise Him more. And we pretty good, don't we, Warren? We pretty good. God is good. Amen. But that's for our basic necessities. But remember, there's a spiritual meaning behind this too. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and He's our daily food. I can live without many things in my life, but I cannot live without Jesus. God is both the giver, amen, He's both the giver of nourishment, and as the Messiah, He's also the bread that came down from heaven. Amen. Verse 12, and I've got to hurry here. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Having forgiven others, there's no impediment now. There's no wall in asking him to forgive us our debts. Psalm 86, 15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Amen. This is amazing, and that God has that long-suffering for us. That God, knowing us, knowing our lives, knowing what we need before we even pray, if you're willing to forgive others, he's not going to hold sin to your charge if you'll ask for forgiveness. That's just incredible to me. Praise the Lord. I'll skip a few here, getting down to the end here. Matthew 6, verse 13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Lead us not into temptation. Temptation means sore trial or strong adversity. Strong adversity. In other words, God, don't give me more than I can bear. God, don't put me in a situation or don't allow me to go into a situation that's going to cause me to fail or to cause me to fall away from you. And he's not going to do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Amen. If God allows you to be tempted, he always provides a way out. Always, always. You know, I've asked people that failed and fallen away, and, you know, I've asked them, "Well, before you did that, did you hear the prompting of the Holy Ghost telling you shouldn't do that?" And they always say, "Yes, absolutely. With every step I took towards that thing, I was hearing the voice of the Spirit telling me not to do it." And that's the truth. God could be yelling at the top of his lungs, and no one else can hear it. But you can hear the voice of the Spirit saying, "Don't go that way. Don't do that thing. Stay away from that. Stop. You can do this. You can do that. You can do anything else, but don't go that direction." The Spirit of God calls out to us. Amen. The Revised Version here translates the word evil as the evil one. But this includes deliverance from the evil thoughts of man's own heart and from evils from without, as well as from the temptations from Satan. Amen. And finally, the last verse, and you could stand with me tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you for staying a couple of extra minutes. Amen. Matthew 6, 13, the last part says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, when we get to heaven, we're no longer going to need prayer. And here's an appeal. Part of the reason I want to go to heaven is we're not going to need to fast anymore, Brother JR. I'm on day one, guys. No prayer, no fasting. So these practices will be ended. We won't have to do it any longer. We'll have everything we need. We'll be in his presence. Immediate, every provision will be already made. But you know what will be abundant in heaven? Praise. Praise will not cease. Amen. You know, I find in the scripture in the book of Revelation that there's music in heaven. That's good. That's good. There's singing in heaven. Amen. There's worship in heaven. There's praise in heaven. Amen. until we get there, we got to pray. Amen. But we always want to have a little taste of heaven when we're praying. Amen. And you can't do that without praise. If you praise the Lord, you feel the presence of God. Amen. So we start with praise in our prayer. We got to end with praise in our prayer. Amen. Can we praise Him right now together? Let's lift up both of our hands. Lift up our voices. Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, I worship you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. God, you're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I give you glory and honor, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I love you, Jesus. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I noticed that if I preach short, you got to stay longer. If I preach long, you got to split out of here so quick. Amen. God bless you. You guys, thank you so much. Amen. For coming tonight. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.